for the granddaughter of Sister Barbara Graveling from West Virginia. She's having problems with her pregnancy. Ask the church for prayers. Sister Rachel Estep would like to thank you for traveling mercy and for your prayers as they traveled. Brother Eugene Kennedy wants to thank God for his healing. He said even though his body may not show it yet, by his stripes I'm healed. So we're believing with Brother Eugene for that. Brother George Coleman, Brother Sam Clark turns this in. George Coleman, suffering with liver failure. Let's remember him. Brother Johnny Little would like for us to pray for his son, Michael Little. He stepped on a nail, now has to have surgery. They're afraid he may lose his foot, so let's remember that. Brother Scotty Babb, pray for him tonight. Severe case of sinusitis. Brother Joel Moyer turns in a request to remember them for their June 28th court date. They're trying to get custody of their daughter back, so they're asking for your prayer there. And Nadine Finch, please pray for my sister. She was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, also bone cancer. It's gone to her throat, closing off her airway, making it hard for her to breathe. So let's stand tonight. That's a very desperate situation. Brother Jewel Wood, come and pray over these needs tonight.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. And I just want to say I thank you for your prayers for me. Lord, how there's the devil fighting. He can't stop the word. So the prophet of God said he started fighting the body, the vessel. So, but by the grace of God, we still got the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, remember one thing that the prophet said. He said, Satan can't do nothing to you till God get through with you. Hallelujah. I believe that God got some people he's not through with. Let us pray this evening. Our gracious, kind, heavenly Father, Lord. Father God, there's many needs. I wish I could name them one by one. But Lord, that pancreatic cancer, Lord, I know that you are a healer, Father God. And we know that these needs that ever need to you, Lord, is nothing, Lord. Hallelujah. We trust you for your power, for your Holy Ghost to move upon these requests, Lord. Let those that brother that fell through the roof, that Lord, the brother that stepped on the nail, Lord. Father God, all these are needs, Father. And we need a power. We need the Holy Ghost to touch them, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Oh, God, let them raise up, Lord, with thanksgiving. Let them raise up with praise, God. Hallelujah, brother, this weakened body, I just pray for outside, Lord. Father God, I trust you, God, that you touch his body tonight, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. And we ask you, God, to remember the man of God that bring the bread of life tonight, Lord. Let the word come forth, Lord, and heal every need that's in here this evening, Lord. Father God, we ask your blessings upon this service tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, my boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail. But I have a friend, he's watching over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, and I know the master of sing that chorus again. I know the master of the wind. I feel him here tonight. I know the maker of the rain. You have come my storm. May the sun shine again. Sing that second verse. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It may raise your hands to Him if you know Him tonight. I know the Master of the way, and I know the Maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. I know the Master of the way. Let's sing that chorus to Him one more time. Sing this first verse one more time. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend and He is watching over me. When the breeze sing when it's my time. Aren't you glad you know Him tonight? Let's sing when it's my time. If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight. You care to sing that verse? G. You sing that first verse.
I've heard them say to do things right, one must take their time. In a hurried pace, there's often waste, with no sense of reason or rhyme. But when I think about my new life and living in my brand new home, that comes to my mind is my time at the throne. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to behold His face. When it's my time, I'm gonna take my time to talk.
Can't you see Him standing in the line, just waiting for a moment or more of the precious Savior's time? When I finally reach His presence, I'll take a thousand years, maybe two, just to thank Him for His wonderful love and the grace that brought me through.
When it's my time, gonna take my time to behold His face. When it's my time, gonna take
Joel Brown.
When it's my time, gonna take my time to behold His face.
When it's my time, gonna take my time
to talk His amazing grace.
Time. I want to just sing a little song that means a lot to me. I call it life and these trappings of time that we find ourselves in, sickness and frustration, reservations, hesitations, everything, temptations, yieldings, all of that. I still want to stay as close to the cross as I possibly can. So give me a musician just a minute to find it. Or to get into it, whatever I do, I don't know. God bless you. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There are precious fountain, free to all a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. This is how they used to sing it. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory. One of these days it's just beyond the old river. In the cross, a trembling soul, love and His
mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams all around me. Just beyond the river. I don't have a voice, but listen, devil. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory. Golden strand just beyond that old river.
Hallelujah. Appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand together tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come, and let's sing this Psalms 3 together.
Oh, Thou, O Lord, of the shield for me, You're the glory and the lifter. Trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. To the Lord with my voice, He heard me out of His holy hill. I laid me down and I slept. When I awakened, the precious, precious Holy Ghost sustained me.
And the church said, amen. I'm glad that's not just a psalm, or it's not just a song that somebody wrote, but it can be a living reality to the people of God. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Sure nice to see you tonight. Glad to be back home. Had some... Had some really good services down in Texas. The brothers did just a really, really outstanding job. Our brother Andrew did an outstanding job. Brother David did two outstanding jobs. So it sounds like we're serving an outstanding God, don't it? Aren't you glad that we don't have him all bottled up here in Tennessee to word that this is the only place that he can move and this is the only place on all the earth where God's doing anything? We'd be a very foolish people if we believe such thing. Amen. I'm glad he's a mighty God. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath. And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon. Now listen again. Remember, prophets use symbols. Just because God says a tribe will live and harbor ships, don't mean they'll be anywhere near the sea. Now, I know you have no idea where I'm going, but it's lamb right here in the next verse. You see, God says things in such a way. It's his way. He don't have to explain it to us. Now listen, in verse 14 again, he says, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon. And yet in reality, the moon itself doesn't, but it's attributed to the sun and to the moon through its power. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful, Heavenly Father, that you have begotten us with the word of truth. Lord, it's such a privilege for us to be gathered together here again. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you've given us a place that we can come together in this evil, dark hour to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, may you come tonight and take these things that have been said so many, many years ago and make them live, make them present tense to our time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd have Brother Jewel to preach tonight, but he's resting a little bit. So. Precious fruits brought forth by the sun. You know, the historian Jarchi says that the land of Joseph lay in the open sun, and it sweetened the fruits, and it improved them by making them more valuable. Spiritually, for the real believer who lives under the influence of the Son of God, you see, every continent on the earth where God placed it, it has its own particular characteristics and traits that's so wonderful to it. And it's the same with these tribes. The sun in Fiji, the sun in Hawaii, it's exactly the same sun that we have here. But yet according to where that is placed upon the earth, and according to the amount of rain that it gets, and according to the amount of sunlight and all of that, every bit of that has such a great impact upon the fruits, the animals, the vegetables, and everything that's there. Now, is Joseph the only place that's going going to get the son? Of course not. Now remember, Moses is here speaking of the tribe of Joseph, but Joseph's tribe is divided in two. Two horns which make up one set upon one head. And that is Ephraim, and Manasseh. But prophetically, he's giving to them symbols that God is going to hide the blessings of what he's going to do for them. Now in them, because they are Joseph's two sons, or his sons, that's going to be divided of grandsons is what they actually are. But they're going to be grandsons to Jacob, sons to Joseph. But Joseph will inherit them as if though, Jacob will rather, that they are his sons. He will cross his hands. The older will become second and the younger will become the greater. Now God again in the mystery of the cross does the same thing in the sons as they come on down when it comes to Leah's sons. Now here God is speaking. Moses is this the last day of his life or next to the last day of his life. But before he leaves, God is going to utter prophetically where the tribes of Israel are going to be placed. Now remember when Joshua moves over the land in the book of Joshua and whenever he goes to placing them out. Now the scripture says that they was giving their inheritance by lots. Now that was stones and they would have a certain way that they would cast the stones, and the way they cast the lots was the way the tribe of Benjamin, Naphtali, Asher, all of those, that's the way that they received their land. But it was God who was in divine control of the way the lots landed, because the lots were going to land exactly according to the prophetic utterance of Jacob and of Joseph. Oh, hallelujah. Now remember, when Joseph is going to give them what God's given to him, now in turn it's going to be turned right down through Moses, and Moses is going to do it. Seems in one way ridiculous to us that God would do it this way, but God has a threefold manner testifying of the assurance that their land is going to be that way. Now notice God does it by Jacob first, and then he does it by Moses second, and then he does it by the lot third. God wants to attribute it so they will be able to settle for sure that it is in divine control. I wish we could be that settled tonight, that we could find our place of what God wants us to be and just be happy being that. Not trying to be in this person's lot and that person's lot. I wish I could preach like that guy. I wish I could sing like that person. I wish I could just find what God's called you to do and be happy. You'll be happy. Your family will be happy, and the family of God will be happy. Now, notice what he gives to Joseph. Every one of these now, of course, is totally different. But he says that the fruits that are brought forth by the sun and the precious things put forth by the moon. Now, we know that God gave two great lights that would be able to rule the night and the day. And he gave the lesser lights, of course, which would be the stars. And the moon was the crown, as it was. And the stars were actually the crown, the lights that would come into the crown. But yet God did not just put the moon there as to be something pretty to look at in the nighttime. But the moon being on the average of 238,000 miles from the earth, sometimes closer, sometimes farther away, but it has a greater gravitational pull and influence than does the sun, which is over 93 million miles away. So God puts her there even though her light is not as bright as the sun. Yet her gravitational pull is greater. So that's why when the moon is on one side of the earth, that the tides will begin to pull. So say the moon is here and the water's on this side of the earth, the moon will begin to pull, but it don't just pull on this side, it actually runs through the earth and actually pulls the water on the other side of the earth as well. Now God gave the moon, the church, the power by which its gravitational pull, you see, this is why we need to come to the house of God. This is why we need a pastor. This is why we need to go to church. Now, God knew when the earth fell and tilted on its axis of 22 and a half degrees, God made the earth so it would be able to stand upright and function. He also made it where it would be able to fall and tilt this angle of degree and not disintegrate, lose its total orbit. But this is the way that the earth is able to orbit and be able to stay there, because God places the gravitational pull of the moon, and the moon is what keeps the earth from wobbling so out of space. If it was not for the moon there with its gravitational pull, then the earth would become so topsy-turvy that it would wobble and wobble and wobble and go totally out of space and lose its position. It's the same way with you and I. No matter how many tapes you listen to, how much you read your Bible, you still need the gravitational pull of the church, the moon, and a God-called ministry that God can be able to use to speak to your heart. Listen, friends, we ought to listen to tapes, and if you don't, shame on you. But let me tell you one thing. I've listened to Invisible Union, there's no telling how many times. The rapture, things that ought to be. And every time I listen to it, the words are exactly the same. They will never change. They will never add one more word to that word. They'll never add nothing else. And you know what? Many of them, you have as well as I have. We've listened to them so much, you can quote them word for word. But yet, why do we need preachers for? Because in those tapes, you'll never find Brother Branham striking the error of the seven thunder doctrine around this message. You'll never find Brother Branham ever striking the internet. Why? It was not in existence. You'll never find Brother Branham striking the error of polygamy. That's around this message. You'll never find Brother Branham striking many of the things that we deal with. What does God want us not to strike it? He does. But who's He want to strike it? The moon. The moon. The live ministry that God has called. You see, God is not going to take Invisible Union and custom fit the Invisible Union sermon and make it go directly to you or you or you. And the next time you listen to it, it'll say the same thing that it did before and before and before. But if God has a live ministry in the pulpit preaching from the Invisible Union, then God can take that man and go right down the alley where you live, tell you things that you and your wife are talking about coming to church. Come on, don't get quiet now. Why? Because God, through that gravitational pull of the ministry that's still activated and alive in the church, God can finally tune and hone our lives exactly what we need. As if, though, God Himself is speaking directly to you and you only. I love it because I hear it all the time, as other ministers do. They said, that was just for me. And 300 more says, it was just for me. And 175 on the internet or whatever more, that was just for me. And you realize, only God could make that just for all them people. Why? Because He has that gift in men's life, and with that gravitational pull, they're sitting there under the aspect of a pastor, that shepherd, and whenever they go to leaning this way or that way, God will anoint that man. It'll bring the correction of what needs to be, pull the orbit back up where it can be able to wobble right on into the body change. Praise the Lord. Do we need the sun, Christ Jesus? Absolutely. Do we need the moon? Absolutely. Do we need the influence of the stars? Yes, we do. But we need them in the order that God placed them. And the saints said. Now, the pull of the moon is actually stronger than the sun because of the circumference and the depth of the earth, where that is placed, and the polar structure that God placed upon the north and the south, and the metallurgical base that God so designed the earth itself. All planets are not quite like ours. Ours has just enough iron, just enough silica, just enough aluminum, just enough all these other things in order for it to be placed positionally out there. Why doesn't the moon do that to Pluto? It does not have the same effect. It's the same way with the gospel that we believe in this hour. We could hand people a book, hand them a tape, they could come here and set to church, but if they're not magnetized from within, you see, what makes the earth be able to react to the moon? It's because her soul was created in the right magnetism to the moon. Glory to God. Why is it that you respond and some of your family would not give a nickel for every one of these tapes that you and I love? Some of your family and some of your friends, they think you're an absolute nut. And yet you're magnetized. It pulled you right up. It made you live right, walk right, do right. Why? Because in your soul, you've got the right amount of iron ore. You've got the right amount of silica. You've got the right amount of lead and tin. You were ordained to this word. Oh, hallelujah. Watch this. Let me read you a few things now. It's from a scientific level as far as the moon itself. The gravitation of the passing moon pulls the nearest body of water a little way away from the solid mass of the earth beneath it. At the same time, it pulls the earth a little away from the water on the other side. Now, can you imagine? It pulls the water on this side, and on the other side, it pulls the earth. Actually pulls the earth from the power that's given to the moon. Oh, Brother Donnie, it's so dark and it's awful. It is. But I'll tell you one thing. It's really going to be awful when the moon leaves. When God takes the bride out of the whole Lord, children, I don't want to be here. When the blood is taken off the mercy seat, you talking about a place to live. Why? Because the gravitational pull, the blood removed from the mercy seat, and the bride being the voice of God, which is the final voice of the final age. Then Satan will be allowed to come to his headship. Then the denominational system will move from her, and it will move into him. Don't you see the parallel of why Satan is doing that? As long as people are in that system, as long as it remains in her, there's salvation and a hope that maybe they can come out. But the prophet said when it goes from her into him, there is no help for them. It's the same way. There's a bride move. It's a body move. The Holy Ghost is moving around the world. Why? It is him in her. But once it reverts from her back to him, there's no more mercy. Now was our time. Now was our day. Now is the time for us as the people of God to say, this is our day. This is our hour to shine. Oh, you sound like you think you're something. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have made it more clear. I don't think I am. I know I am. I'm part of the elect of God. I ain't talking about my flesh. I ain't talking about what I've done. I'm talking about what God done before the foundation of the world. Watch this. Oh, my. The same forces affect the water content of the soil, creating more moisture in the soil at the time of the new and full moon. This increased moisture encourages the seeds to sprout and grow. So according to the phase of the moon, church, moon. The revival in the moon, in the church, affects the way the seeds grow. Praise the Lord. It ain't no wonder Satan wants to try to kill the real church of the living God. It ain't no wonder he wants to get preachers so caught up in either ideas or themselves or some kind of other something to keep the flow of the moisture of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something, friend. We need truth, and I love truth. I love doctrine. I love all that, but we still need the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God to move among us and to be able to bring the moisture, the presence of God. Hallelujah. The increased moisture encourages the seeds to sprout and grow. Dr. Frank Brown of Northwestern University performed research over a 10-year period of time, keeping meticulous records of his results. He found that plants absorbed more water at the time of the full church. The full moon. You'll have to forgive me here if I interchange his words, because I see them as being interchangeable. So the plants absorbed more water when it come into its full moon. Now, justification was a wonderful stage, first quarter. Sanctification was a wonderful stage, second quarter. Pentecost was a wonderful stage, third quarter. But there's got to be a full moon. Justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost makes way for the full moon. For the Holy Ghost himself. Hallelujah. Not just gifts. Not just supernatural. I don't want just gifts. I want the giver. Oh, glory to God. My. Notice this. He conducted his experiments in a laboratory without direct contact from the moon. Yet he found that they were still influenced by it. So here they are in a church. A laboratory. Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Church of Christ Laboratory. And they're trying to keep him away from the moon on purpose. But he couldn't. They never seen moonlight in one day in their life. But the moon was still affecting them. Brother, sister, you can't hide God from a seed of God. Notice this, John Chavarnes, author of How to Grow More Church Members. I mean vegetables. As the influence of the increasing or decreasing moonlight on the growth of plants, when the moon is in its waxing phases, the increasing amount of moonlight stimulates leaf growth. And as the moonlight decreases, the above the ground leaf growth slows down and the root is stimulated again. Look at the church ages and you'll see the cycle of this going on. Oh my, what it looked like she was going to be destroyed, but the root was still in the ground. But remember, God said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Tests have been conducted most notably by Dr. Frau Kolisko in Germany in 1939 and Maria Sun in 1956. They primarily experimented with root crops, which is what we are. We go back to the original root. Root crops showing the effect of lunar phases on seed germination. They found maximum germination on the days before the full moon. Crop yields were reported by weight. Thun was surprised to discover that the signs... Oh, Lord, no. The signs of the zodiac played its part as well. Thun experimented with a variety of crops. Carrots and parsnips represented root crops. Lettuce and spinach. Corn salad and leaf types. Beans, peas, cucumbers, and tomatoes. And fruit seed types. Zinnia, snapdragons, and asher were air crops. Crops responded well when planted in the appropriate sign. Glory for their type of plant. You see, to set me out in the days of Luther, I'd be a drawn up little something that never amount to nothing. To set Martin Luther here in this day and try to make him a believer in this day, it never worked. But God set the zinnias where the zinnias need to go. And God set the leaf crops where the leaf crop need to go. And the root crop, oh hallelujah, it's not our working, it's not man's doing, it is God. So you mean to tell me certain crops grow better if they were planted under their sign? You see, in order for you to grow right, you had to be planted under an eagle sign. Now many of us come out under a man's sign, Pentecost. And we thought we were really born again. But come to find out, we was really just worked up. We was on our way to the new birth. But I could have been born back under, Brother Dale. Wrong sign. Wrong sign. That's why some of these folks around the message are really never able to go on with the full birth of the word. They're born under the wrong sign. They may embrace it. Oh, God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. When you go to Samuel, that prophet said, they get all bent out of shape. But if you are planted under the zodiac sign of the end time, this message, you're not going to spend your years fighting it. You're going to spend your years eating it. Why? Because it is your root crop. Notice this, plants sown in the correct combination of the best lunar phase and sign showed increased vigor due to having all the best influences. That's why you need to pray over what church you go to, what preachers you feed on. Some folks would probably do better by going to Brother Tim's church instead of here. Right. And there's probably some that do better here than going to Brother Tim's church. Because we're a better church. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with your need and the type of gift and the type of ministry that you need. And people should not pick out a church like they do a grocery store. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. But they need to pray, God, where do you want me to go? Hallelujah.
just be a live plant. I want to be one that's alive and well and blooming and growing. Oh my. Hallelujah. Notice this. They are growing at an optimum rate and are not as prone to setbacks that would affect less healthy Christian. I mean, plants. Harvests are often quicker, larger, and crops don't go to seed as fast. That's why this bride is not going back to seed. Prophet didn't say spirit of organization wouldn't come around us, but this message, the real message, will never make an organization. They tried to. That's what the Seven Thunder move was, Perusia move, all these things has been the spirit of organization to say, you got to come to us and get it. Same thing the Baptist said. But the real bride will not make an organization out of this. You can't organize God. The crop will be faster. It will be quicker. It will be larger, because when we go, Lord, when we go, all 2,000 years of church ages is going with us. We're not just going by ourselves, church. When we go, the entire harvest is waiting on us. Notice, Brother Random, in question and answer 1964, and this person that's in you, which is your birth, you are John Doe. You were born in a certain month. You were born under a certain star. You're born under a certain thing, and that has something to do with you. Certainly does. I know Papa used to say, I can't plant them potatoes at this time because the moon isn't right. You can't plant them potatoes, Billy. And I said, I'm not planting them in the moon. I'm planting them here on the ground. He said, all right, smart aleck, go on. You get a few bumps on your head and you learn something. Well, thank God, at least you can learn. I know a few folks, they got bumps on their head that look like a knot head and still ain't learned nothing. So if you can learn, thank God. Can you learn? Can you be taught? Good. My, my. Notice, then he says, you get a few bumps on your head and you learn something. I did. I tell you, you take a board and lay it out here on the grass in the dark of the moon and watch what happens. The grass will die right now. Lay it in the light of the moon and you can let it lay there a week and it won't hurt it a bit. Watch the sea when the moon changes yonder. Watch the tide when the moon goes out and the tide follows it out. It's millions of miles from the earth. Not only that, go down here in the state of Kentucky and sink a rod down in the ground until you hit salt water and watch that pipe, how deep it is when the moon, when the tide's in, and watch it when it goes out. Plumb across under the earth. Under the earth. You plant something that spreads out on the top of the earth in the dark of the moon. Watch it go right down and make like a radish or a turnip wheel. You plant it back the other way and watch it spread out on the top of the earth. Don't you understand, friends, what happens to people? They don't get in the right ground. They don't get under the right teaching. They want a mile. They want to just jump around and holler, or they'd rather go to the intellectual side. And that's why they spread out over the ground and don't have no foundation. Or the other way around, they go around real, real deep, but they ain't got nothing showing on the outside. We need to be planted where God says we need to be planted. Oh my, notice this. You plant something like that, and that's the same way spiritually now. He says, why did Aaron have on his breastplate the birthstones of each of those patriarchs? Look at those mothers when they gave the utterance, and them mothers and them Hebrew women in labor giving utterance to those children being born. It placed their name. It told their births. It put them in the homeland and set them over to eternity. My mom and daddy coming together with a mixture of their chromosomes and their DNA. Give me my hair color so I can walk down streets of gold. My eye color come from my mom and daddy. Now, God could have created him and given me my eye color, but he let me come this way. He let me be born under a certain start, a certain birth path, and that has something to do with me as it does with you. Now watch, he says, watch him bring it now to Aaron as he would wear the Urim Thummim, which was the breastplate, each one having a stone. And yet he wore the names of the tribes engraved upon those stones in the representation before the presence of God. One of these days he said, when I come and stay a little time, I want to take that subject. And then watch Jacob. When he was dying there, he laid his hands upon the patriarchs and blessed them. He was telling them exactly where they would be. And that's exactly according to their name and exactly according to their births, and sure it has something to do with you. Now that's your birth path. Brother Tony, you don't believe in astrology. I believe in God's astrology. I don't have to get the Johnson City Press. I don't get it no more since they, well, that's another story. Anyway, I don't need to read their paper and find out what my day is going to be. I don't need to read and find out what kind of a you're so-and-so and you're Scorpio and you're this and that and the other, and this is going to be your day and that's going to be your day. I'd rather start out my day in a whole lot different way. I'd rather be able to go right back here to the Word. Will it affect me in the natural sense? Certainly it will affect me. But I've got a power in me that is greater than the zodiac sign I was born under July the 9th, 1956. That will sway. That will change me. That will alter. Okay, back and forth, back and forth. But the inside man does not change no matter what happens on the outside. But does it affect us? Certainly it affects us. That's your birth path. That's what you are, a natural man or natural woman. But when you're reborn again, that's not the outside conscience, he said. The outside is what you see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But the inside of that is what you really are. Amen. Now this is your Satan just tempts you and knocks you around every way here. But down here, he can't do it unless you let him do it. For in here you've got faith. And faith don't come from the outer conscience. It reasons. But in faith there's no reason. You got it from God and you know it's there. I don't care how much it looks wrong. You still know it's right. It's thus saith the Lord. And there's nothing going to bother you. Nothing can bother that. It's moving right straight on. Difficult means nothing to it. It wades right on through it. And the saints said, well, did this quote expire in 1965? Really? You mean it's still active today in 2016? Now watch. Back to Moses again. Deuteronomy 33:15. And the chief things of the ancient mountains. Chief things of the ancient mountains. Of course, in Ephraim and Manasseh, great crops, orchards of olives and figs. But yet, they didn't grow on their own. Now the minerals and the nutrients in order to make the right types of things were in the ground. And God made them in the ground. But it was going to take them in their predestinated spot to make it work. Now if we take Zebulun and move Zebulun over into the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, it will never work. No. Zebulun is going to trade from the sea. Businessmen. They're going to run trade routes. They're not mater guys and pickle guys and cucumbers. Now they like eating them, but they don't like growing them. So to some people to hear this with the right hearing, let's say, oh, glory to God, that's me. That's me. Why? They had a farmer's soul. Yeah. That's good. Zebulun had a trading soul, merchantman. Yeah. I don't know when some of the brothers in the message are going to be able to face the facts. Everybody is in this message not called to be a businessman. Some folks ain't got the sense, some folks ain't got the money, and some folks ain't got neither. Some folks are made where they've got to be told, do this, go there, do this, do that. They function better. But I don't know what it is about so many of the message men. They feel like they've got to be in a business, and they take them and their family down the road of destruction. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Oh, my. Well, Grandpa done so-and-so, and Uncle so-and-so done so-and-so. That don't mean that's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to go to Him who brought you on the earth and say, what do you want me to do? And you can have a pretty good idea by the way you're made. Now watch. For the chief things of the ancient mountains and for the precious things of the lasting hills. Now why don't God just come out and say it? He don't want to. So He cloaks it all in symbols. Cloaks a simple thing like farming and pulling minerals out. God, why don't you just say it? He don't want to. Sometimes the will of God for our life is one of the most difficult things that we'll ever find on this journey. It takes digging. It takes praying. We'd rather have God to email it to us or text it to us. This is what I want you to do. One day so-and-so do this. Day so-and-so in the morning, the afternoon, do this, that, and other. And it would erode our spirituality and our personal walk with God even more than what it is right now. God could have handed you the book of your life. He knew what it would be. He knew every day you'd ever live. He knew everything you'd ever do. He could have handed you the book of life. And in the morning you get up and just turn over page 3,892 and say, okay, God knew I was going to wake up at 8:15. I was going to have that bed toothache right there. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to gargle some of that old tooth stuff. And it's going to make me numb because that's what my book says right here. And then I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go crank the car, but the car ain't going to crank because I forgot to put gas in it. And then I'm going to have to call the record AAA and they're going to have to come out and fill me up. And Is that really what you wish your life was? Nothing but a bunch of repeating words, but God leaves it in such obscurity sometimes in order to make us pray. God, what should I do? God, help me. I don't know what to do, Lord. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. Which way should I go? Please help me, God. I don't know what to do. I'm glad He done it like that. Apparently, it's the best way. For those of you that didn't stream the service Sunday morning, it was my turn to preach there to meet, and I took all kinds of notes and things, and my, I couldn't find no inspiration from the Lord at all, and I kept waiting and waiting. And the brothers did such an outstanding job. I mean, they preached and preached on Saturday night. It was like heaven on earth. I left there asking Brother Ron to preach, Brother Craig Brewer to preach, every preacher there to preach for me the next morning. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, God, please help me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I went to bed with it on my mind. I laid out two or three things. I looked at him. Carl said, you got anything? I said, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I went to bed with that on my mind. But I said, Lord, I don't even both of us stand up on that. You're going to be up anyway, so I'm just going to go and sleep. Right. You know all these people gather here. I really need help. I ain't trying to compete. I ain't trying to outdo these guys. But I want something to say that'll be a help. And a little bit after daylight on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. I heard the Spirit of God say my title, what I'm supposed to preach. Amen. Charge for the present, but change for the future. Oh, my. And I lay there, and he started putting things together, one thing after another. Oh, my. And I walked up there, and I wrote my title down and my scripture down, a little piece of paper, and I showed it to the church. I said, this is my notes. I have no notes, no scriptures, and no quotes. And the preachers, their eyes is all big as Brother Jules, you know. I mean, they're looking at one thing, oh, dear God, what in the world? But you know what? God does us that way sometimes. He wants to be able to bring a surprise. Brother Ron on Saturday night, for many years have had a prayer line, but Brother Ron, his heart felt not to go that way. I was glad he didn't. Why? Because we can get in tradition of not having prayer line, or we can get in tradition of having a prayer line. Oh, God don't have to move the way we think. He wants to move the way He wants to move. With a prayer line, I say amen. Without a prayer line, I still say amen. Oh my. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 16, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness, corn, grass, grapes, figs.
That's what y'all going to have. Now, I can say right now, look on some of y'all's face, y'all don't think this is deep at all. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you've been living this day, you'd have thought this is awful deep. This deep right here. You are so glad everybody didn't sell pearls. You're so glad everybody wasn't merchantmen. You're so glad somebody growed food. I'm glad God's gifted men to be great, deep preachers, but I'm glad God's got some preachers that preach every day, Monday through Saturday stuff, that teaches us how to live good, godly, simple lives as well as the depths. Oh my. I love this verse. Listen how Moses phrases it. And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush.
Yeah. Glory.
Amen. Wow. What a way to describe God. You're going to get all of these things for one reason. The goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Praise the Lord. Look at the meaning of this word good. Pleasure, delight, favor, goodwill, acceptance, favor. This is why you're getting this, Ephraim. This is why you said, Brother Donnie, I've got a good job and I applied myself with a good education. I've done this and that. Don't you take none of that credit. If God give you the ability, you could have been born, you know, with a little bit short on the intelligence side and not have the ability to get no degree. Come on now. You could have been born blind. You could have been born without hands to write. But if God gave you that, you should never take that credit for your own. Oh yes, thank God that he gave you the ability to read and study and apply yourself. But always come back to the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Hallelujah. Why are we saved tonight? The goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Why are we filled with the Holy Ghost? Let's move it on up. The goodwill of him that dwelt in Christ. Why am I going the rapture? The good will of him that dwells in me. He ain't no longer dwelling in the bush. He ain't no longer dwelling in a cloud, but now he's dwelling in the hearts of his people. Oh my. The goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph. Upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. This is one of the main reasons this message is hated so much. Separation. If we didn't preach hair and dress and all that sort of thing, we could listen to the same music everybody else does, look the same, act the same, talk the same. Don't you think they'd want these miracles? You don't think they'd want something that set their people free? Come on! The devil sent me a thing today of a church over in North Carolina where they got a big debt from building a big building, and the pastor had got up just recently and said they're going to have to start leaving all this God stuff out of their sermons. You imagine a church? Because they said the church is like any other business. And we need people to pay this, to pay these bills. So we're going to start preaching about sports and preaching about some of these other things. Yeah, give them what they want. Take them right to tribulation and you'll burn in the flames of hell. Come on, church. I'm not here to preach to you about sports. I'm not here to preach to you about politics. I want to preach to you the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. I want to preach to you something that'll change your body. We don't want to be charged for the present. We want to be changed for the future.
Glory.
Mine, verse 17, he said, his glory is like the firstling of his bullock. And his horns are like the horns of unicorns. Now this, of course, is referring to part of the land that Joseph is going to inherit, the land of Bashan. For whatever reason, the bulls, both tame and wild, grow to be of such immense size that they would call them the bulls. David even referred to them, the bulls of Bashan. Of course, an animal in here is a symbolism of power and strength. And a bullock. Now, we look at it, of course, totally different in Western thinking, but a bullock to them was a very excellent animal.
So when Moses sang this, he was not degrading him at all. But he said his glory is not the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are the horns of unicorns. So the tribe was divided into Ephraim and Manasseh, but yet merged back together in the concept of a unicorn. Now there was two separate branches of it, but through the concept of the rhinoceros or the unicorn as it was, they would come together in one tribal banner, being identified under Joseph. Now, what is this? Symbolism of power, of course, and horns. His glory is the firstling of his bullock. His horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. Now, though Manasseh was the older son, Joseph actually gives Ephraim the blessing of the firstborn. This is why Moses mentioned Ephraim first. And if you notice, whenever he goes to identify him, he attributes tens of thousands to him and only thousands to Manasseh. Now, God was the one that did this. No matter whether they liked it or not, whether they thought it was unfair or not, these men could only speak as God gave them prophetic utterance. So here Jacob speaks it that way. Moses comes and says the same thing, that Ephraim will have tens of thousands and Manasseh thousands. I don't care how much they try to populate themselves. They can go to doctors and do whatever they want to do to try to get more children and outdo them. It's the word of God. Why? I don't know exactly. It just is. Oh, glory. Oh, Brother Donnie, why did God want to send a prophet? Why did he just wanted to? He didn't figure he needed to ask you and me. Now watch in verse 18. And of Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. Now look at what Jacob said about these two brothers. Genesis 49:13. And Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. And he shall be a haven of ships. And his border shall be unto Zidon. Who is it that appoints us our boundaries? God does. Now by reading this, would you not believe that Zebulun is going to be on the Mediterranean? But he's not. Now you see, people think they understand how prophecy is fulfilled. I love showing them this when they do.
Yes, sir.
It seems as if, though, he's going to be right on the Mediterranean. Listen how Jacob says it. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. The meaning is not that Zebulun is going to be a seafaring people themselves. That's okay. You don't have to say amen. That's all right. You're waiting for proof, Brother Michael. Let's give it to him. And Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. Huh. But yet Zebulun is right there. And the sea is right here. That's about all you can do is life, isn't it? Just have that look on your face, that silly look that we have. So you mean you can't actually take the Bible the way the Bible seems to sound sometimes? And prophecy, when it sometimes seems like it's wrong and missed, it's not wrong at all. Praise the Lord. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. And he shall be an haven of ships. Must have been dry land boats. I mean, because right here is the sea. And right here is Zebulun in the purple or the lilac.
And Zidon is actually up here. God, why don't you just come right out and say it? I am. I'm coming right out and saying it the way I want to say it.
Come on, brother.
I tell you, friends, we better be careful on this day when we're looking and things say, this didn't come to pass and that didn't come to pass and that didn't come to pass. We better be careful. Oh, my. Now, the meaning is not that Zebulun will be seafaring men, though it sounds like they will. They're actually going to become traders. But they don't really like to see themselves. I can relate to that. We go to the ocean. I take my family to the ocean. I walk down there 2 minutes. Last time I was down there a few weeks ago, I walked down. I was there about 3 minutes. And I left. I'd done seen it before. And I know some of y'all think I'm nuts. That's only half the story. You see, everybody don't like the sea. Everybody don't like the ocean. But they like what the sea brings. Now, Zebulun's character and name is embedded, of course, with the mystery of God for his placing. And this is one of the most mysterious of all the tribes in the way that God, through Jacob by prophecy, says this. Now, actually, one border, now look at it carefully, and the mystery of it will become unfolded. One border will face the sea, and the other border will face Zidon. He's not going to be on the sea, but his border will face the sea. You see, I more than likely will never be called to go over and attack the Vatican in Rome. I attack it from here. Why? My border faces them. More than likely, I'll never be on television or Fox News or CNN or none of that. Well, hope to God I ain't anyway. More than likely, I'll never get up there and then attack, you know, all that sort of thing. But my border faces them and opposes them. Now, we are in Laodicea, but we are not Laodiceans. Well, glory to God. We are in Laodicea. So you're these people. It's not so much that they themselves are going to get on the sea themselves, but their border points toward the sea, but they're going to be merchantmen of the mysteries that come forth from the sea. You see, many people like Zebulun have been placed in a very, very good position. Now look where Zebulun is. That just so happens to where that their particular parcel of ground is not really great for figs. It's not really great for corn. It's not great for some of the other things. But it's really good for camel tracks. Trade routes. And these are some of the original Wall Street Jews. These guys are actually going to have transport back to the Phoenicians, and they're going to come right up through there, and they're going to go back and forth and back and forth, growing maters and vegetables and green beans and taters. Forget it. Let Naphtali and let the rest of them do it. There's more money to be made in pearls than in green beans. Did God place them there? He did. God placed them positionally. Well, you would think that God would have made it easier for them. Apparently, they had a real easy, queasy stomach. Now, if you're going to be making most of your living from the sea, why not place you on the sea?
Come on, amen.
Look at you. Look at how some of you have to battle and struggle and battle. Why didn't God just place you right on the border of what you're supposed to do? Make it so much easier. There's your answer. Why not just move them over? Let's just take this little spot. It's not that much. Let's take this little spot right there. And let's just slide it over to there.
prophecy could be fulfilled so much easier. Wouldn't be near as hard. Hey, you know what? If they didn't go on there, let them hire some guys to go out there and to see and let them do this and that. But God is going to make them labor. They're not going to labor the way the rest of them are, but they're still going to labor to produce prophecy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You realize God has placed some people in a great financial advantage. God places some people with an intelligence to design, and they just look at things and they think, wow, I could fix that. And I look at it and think, wow, I could fix it. And Carol says, Donnie, please don't. There's an old story in our marriage about a typewriter. We'll not go into it. But there are people who can fix typewriters, but I'm not one of them. But you see, God, when God places us, look how it interacts. Friend, look how it works. If everybody sold pearls, I've never eaten one, but I imagine it'd be poor eating, don't you? I ain't never eaten no gold and no silver and none of that sort of stuff. There's got to be vegetable growers. There's got to be merchants. There's got to be, it's the same way in the house of God. There's got to be people that can park cars. There's got to be Sunday school teachers. And there's got to be laborers that hardly nobody knows them or calls them by the name. Oh, I would to God that each of us could find our place and stay there and work together in the economy of God. Listen to this verse again. To me, it's so profound. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be an haven of ships. Not for, but of. A haven of, not for. They're not actually going to pull into his docks. If you do, you got a long way to bring it. Then you're back in the days of Noah, huh? But notice one word in a scripture, a prophecy, can make it look like it's either fulfilled or failed. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto, even though it's miles and miles and miles and miles away in the Phoenician country. But his border is unto Zidon. You remember the scripture, the woman of Tyre and Sidon? It's where she came from. Watch in Joshua 19:10. And the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun according to their families. And the border of their inheritance was unto Sarid. Sarid is near Mount Carmel. And their border went up toward. I'm toward being a deep preacher. But I'm way inland. But I'm toward it. We're toward being 18. Did you feel like it this morning when you got up, Brother Jim? We're toward it. But we're not there yet. Notice now, friend, how the scripture says, and the border went up toward the sea, and Meliai reached unto Dachabesh, and reached to the river that is before Jokunim. Now notice how he places it. Now Joshua casts the lots, and the divine sovereignty of God works out these lots and divides the land in order to give them their spot. And you imagine, when they landed there and thinking in their mind, maybe they carnally remember this prophecy of Jacob and thinking, this ain't our land. This can't be our land. Only fishing you can do, you're a dry land fish. Hey, we're 100 miles to the ocean. This word's wrong. Somebody messed up here somewhere. Now bless God, the prophet of God said, we is going to be a haven.
Now think what you'd have thought if you'd have lived in that day. And Joshua said he had the mind of the Lord. And yet you take the scripture right here and you check Joshua out. Now Joshua, how are you going to line your prophecy up with what Jacob said? Hallelujah. Notice verse 13. And from thence passeth on along unto the east to Gittefer. It's Oxim. Now, if I mispronounce these words, forgive me. Goeth unto whatever that is. And the border compasseth it on the north side to Hananos, and the outgoings thereof in the valley. Wait a minute. Where's the Mediterranean? Where's the Great Sea? Where's the Great Sea as its border? This is prophecy fulfilled. Inland. Inland. And Qatar, Nahariel, Shimron, Adiah, Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun, according to their families, these cities with their villages.
Amen. That's good.
According to God's divine appointment. Now notice in Deuteronomy 33:19, Moses goes on to say about Zebulun. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There shall they offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. Jacob and Moses say in the same prophetic harmony. And both of them, you would think, are saying they're going to be by the sea. They never said that at all. You see how easy the prophecy can be misunderstood. Why? We put our own interpretation to it. Now you would think, my goodness, well, by looking at that. But wait a minute, remember, friend. God does not need any of us to interpret His own word. But when God says something, the manifestation or the fulfillment is the interpretation thereof. Whoa. Hallelujah. When Zebulun was placed by the Holy Ghost inland away from the seacoast, that was the fulfillment of prophecy. They shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. So here they have this river that comes down through part of their property, which runs for several miles, with great deposits of mica and ammonium and all different types of things which are used for making glass.
Right.
So out of the sands, not the Mediterranean. It is strange that God would liken riches and treasures to sand. Not really, since He told Abraham to go over and count the sand on the seashore. God likened it to young'uns. Now look at prophecy. Then God could say many times things that were so hard for people to understand. And they would look at it and ponder and try to figure it out. And they'd go look and say, I can find 16 people died on the bridge.
Come on now.
There's no articles. There's no news articles. There's no this, that, or the other. I can't find no proof. I feel sorry for you. Not because you can't find the proof, but because you need it. That's what I feel sorry for. Because you realize right there it ain't a faith walk. Come on, it ain't a faith walk. Now you could wait for thousands of years waiting for this to come to pass according to the way you think you'll die and go to your grave. Waiting for it to happen. It will never happen. It has already happened. But how did it happen? It happened in a symbol because it was given in a symbol. Praise the Lord. When Brother M sees America and he sees the condition that he's in, he sees this beautiful woman raised up. He don't know if it's a woman president. He don't know if it's the Catholic Church. And I know all of us are holding our breath, hoping and praying to God it won't be Hillary. I don't know. There's no difference between her and Trumpus.
between Trumpus and Hillary is. I'm not sure which is the worst. God have mercy on us all. That's all I know. And you're trying to figure it out. It may be 10,000 miles away from what our minds has got it figured out anyhow. If we need to know what it is, God will make it known. It'll be right there in the message somewhere. We don't need another prophet to tell us about it. God brings His Word to pass by fulfilling that Word. What do? We just walk our spot. What have you done, brothers? What have you done? You was born in the tribe of Zebulun. You heard this all your life. You memorized it. This was your prophecy. We're going to be by the sea. Man alive, I can't wait to get out there. I love water. Joshua cast the lots. You fought around that country. There's ravines, dry spots, some deserts.
Sure.
You're thinking, there ain't no way. Yeah. Brother Don is off the word. I don't need that kind of hard preaching.
I think your attitude says you do.
Bless God, the prophet of God said I'd be a haven. Ooh, I done had it in my mind. I done built this beautiful dock and marina. I was going to sell shrimp and flounder and seafood. Then I was going to take the pearls out of the seafood and I was going to be filthy rich. And I get a spot out here about 40 acres square. Looks like the Namib Desert. And I'm supposed to be satisfied with this. They don't let me sing enough. They don't let me pray enough. They don't let me preach enough. Don't they know I'm a seaport guy?
Well said.
Well, I'm not really too sure how a ski resort would work in a desert, but if you want to try it, I mean, we're open. You want to put up a boat shop out in the middle of the Namib Desert? I mean, it's entirely up to you. I've never rode jet skis on sand. It might somehow or another. If I was you, I think I'd refocus what I thought I was supposed to be. And line it up with the way the Word is positionally placing you. Let's put the map back up. Look at all these different sizes of land. Look at Manasseh, the yellow upper top. Half the tribe on one side of the river, half on the other side. Look at how many inhabitants they've got. Look at Ephraim, his brother. Look at Dan, how small. Simeon, which doesn't have his own property but merged into Judah. Look at Gad. Look at all the different ones with all their different abilities and gifts. Yet they are called by one name, the children of Israel. Now, they have their own little separate groups and their own little separate tribes and their own separate banners and their own separate families. But under one auspices, the children of Israel. I was reading it yesterday, I guess it was, when Brother Branham was talking about the end time. How there'll be a press that'll come against the people of God. And who knows exactly what that's going to be. But he said it'll drive her together. She'll lay aside these differences and this differences and that. And you know, you pray, God help us. It's a shame, really, that things like that have to drive us together. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just make up our minds with the grace of God? We want to be together on the divine purpose of God. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Some people are called in this land to grow crops, to feed others. Some are called to raise cattle to feed others. Some are called to be merchantmen. They'll be able to make contacts with the wayfaring seamen. Others will be called to be lion-like, like Judah. Some will be wolf-like, like Benjamin. Some will be like Dan, that'll bite like an adder. Each one of them will have their position. As long as they function together, if one's in trouble, the other one might be their strength. And you look at this and realize, and we'll look at it, Lord willing, again when we pick it back up, but as we go down in this, with each of these prophecies, there is a wonderful, strong side of this prophecy. And then there will be a negative side as well. The very thing that God blesses us with can be the very thing that drags us down if we're not careful. It's up to us. You see, God placed man in the Garden of Eden, and he was placed there to dress it and to keep it. He was not called to plant it. He was not called to make seeds. God did that. Adam's part was dress it and keep it. Keep it from what? There must have been something there to keep it from. He's called to dress it and keep it. This is what you're called to do with your garden. Dress it and keep it. You didn't plant the seed of God in you. God did that. But you're called to dress it and keep it. Keep the vines from intertwining one around the other, from mixing the seeds, cross-pollinating with the plants that will. Keep in your spot. And even though you may love the sea, God may place you inland. It's going to take the grace of God to help you. If not, you'll be wasting years of your life trying to work your way to the sea, when God himself knew the best place for you was inland. And maybe you say, oh my, I don't want the water. No way, I don't want the water. And God says, you go to the coast, because that's where I'm placed. You say, no, Lord, that's not who I am. Lord, that's not who I am. But he knows who you am better than you know who you am. And he don't make no mistakes, unlike us. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? To be in your place. Find your place. Pastor, evangelist, teacher, housewife, Sunday school teacher, deacon, trustee, piano player, organ player, Christian, whatever we are, businessman, whether you live in Judah, Benjamin, Gad, Manasseh, Issachar, wherever you live, may God place you. May you function there. Don't live to yourself. We're here to help each other. Maybe God has blessed some of y'all financially. For a lot of folks have gotten their mind, God gives it to them, it's them and their family only. Really? Maybe you need to read a little further and find out. God may have given you part of what you have also to be a benefit and help others.
Amen.
Right? Maybe God gives some men a great understanding of the message. My, they're supposed to be able to share that understanding. But they're real selfish. They want to keep it to themselves. You got to get on their mailing list or get their permission to get their password on their website. They want to know how many disciples they have. So they want to keep them good things from the bride. Shame on us. Anything that we have that we can share to help one another, we should be able to do it. Whether it's deep, whether it's simple, whether it's the dew or the deep riches in the fountains, may God give us strength and courage to dig them out. Let's bow our heads together and pray, would you? Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your word, Father. I just marveled, Lord, the other day when I found this, it about took my breath. I thought how wonderful to look and see seemingly how simple it would have been just by reading this passage of Scripture. Almost anyone would think they would be placed by the sea, but to look at the fulfillment of it, it was nowhere even near it. Yet the mystery of their life was going to be about the sea, but they wasn't going to live on the sea. So their riches and their wealth and the things that they would become would come from the sea, but they wouldn't actually live on the sea themselves. It would be funneled through other people. Help us, I pray. Lord Jesus, maybe there's people standing that way here tonight. Lord, they want to be this and that and the other on the first person. I'm my own man. I'm self-made. I'm this, that. But yet, Lord, maybe you don't want them to live on the sea. You want them to live inland. Yes. You want things to be funneled to them indirectly. And you'll bless them and make something out of them if they'll submit. Lord Jesus, help us each one, I pray. Father God, every man, woman, boy, and girl. Lord, we had so many to graduate from high school this year. Several to graduate from college. Now, Lord, they're facing choices in their life. What should I become? What should I do? Help them, Lord, to realize their life is not their own. It's not for what I want to be, I want to be, I want to be. Lord, help them to say if it's pleasing to God. I want to be a nurse if that's pleasing to God. I want to be this or that if that's pleasing to God. Help each of us, Lord. Hallelujah. You may place us inland, or Lord, you may place us by the sea when we really have no desire to be there. I'm one of them, Lord. I have no desire to have my sermons on the internet. I have no desire whatsoever. If it's left up to me, I would have never put the first sermon on the internet or made it available for any person outside of this church. It's not my desire to live to where I can be a constant target and shot at. But what can I do if that's where you've placed us? No doubt Brother Darrell, Brother Jewel would love to stay home with their families and be able to be a part of their family. But what can we do, Lord, if you've placed us out here? But do what you've ordained us to do, Lord. Brother Branham said he wished this message was not his to bring. What a statement. What a statement for a prophet of God to bring. He didn't want to be the messenger of Malachi 4. He did not want to be it. He wanted to be inland. Be in there where nobody would know him, as it were. But that's not what you called him to be. I'm so glad he obeyed you, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray. Have a greater desire to obey you, Father. Whether you place us on the coast, whether you place us in the goodly land of pastures, or the fruitful land to grow fruits and vegetables, help us, I pray, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Come and raise our hands. You love him, children, with all your heart. Praise God. Oh, my. Does it mean that God's call in your life will be easy? It does not. Much about it you won't enjoy doing. There's much about preaching I love doing. But there's much about being a preacher I don't like at all. I don't like it all. No doubt, Brother Louis, Brother Joel, these people that's lead singing, these musicians, there's great parts about it. But there's burdens that come with it. They have to give their time for practice and this and that and the other. No matter what you're called to do, there's difficulty between you and the sea. But if you're called to suck the riches out of the sea, even though you're a long way from it, you're ordained of God to do it, you will. And you'll find a way for the treasures to unveil themselves out of the sand. Some will look at it and lift up a handful of sand and watch the sand fall down through their fingers and see nothing but a dry, barren waste. You see glass. You see all kinds of things because you're anointed to see it. Don't you understand? This is why no church, no preacher is complete within themselves. We need one another. We need other ministries in our church. We need exposure to good godly ministry. Praise the Lord, saints. Why? None of us have the whole thing on God. God disperses them as it pleases him. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Sing something for us, Harry. You love him. You love him with all your heart. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He knows exactly what I need.
Oh, yes, Lord.
To walk in this narrow way.
Yes, you do, Lord.
Jesus knows how to keep me humble. And how to make me pray. He knows. It's when the clouds are covering the sky, when I'm walking through the valley low. I'll be on my knees, calling on Jesus. There's no other place to go. He knows exactly what I need to walk in this narrow way. Jesus knows how to keep me humble and how to make me pray. He knows when the clouds are covering the sky, when I'm walking through the valley low. I'll be on my knees, calling on Jesus. There's no other place to go.
Oh, He knows exactly what I need to walk in this narrow way. Jesus knows how to keep me humble and how to make me pray. He knows when the clouds are covering the sky, when I'm walking in the valley low. I'll be on my knees, calling on Jesus. There's no other place to go.
I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line that separates darkness from the light. I'm so glad I've crossed over in time. Oh, I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line that separates darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Sing it again now. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The separates darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Once again now. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I was traveling along the back roads, heading in the wrong direction. Satan sure he had my soul lost and bound. Through God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line that separates.
Release the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I was headed in the wrong direction. My sin dark as night. Satan's standing between my soul and the light. Jesus gave me a light when he saved this soul of mine. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Heading in the wrong direction. My sin dark as night. Satan standing between my soul and the light. Jesus gave me a light when he saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time. Glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates darkness from the light. So glad I crossed over in time.
I said, now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over that Malachi 4 line. The line that separates the church from the bride. I'm so glad I crossed over.
From the line, I'm so glad I crossed over in time. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line.
God bless you, saints. We'll see you, Lord, running this weekend, going to fear of God.
Oh, the line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.